You are now listening to Jess is Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello everyone, welcome to Jess is Lit. I am back with another episode this early. I decided to book some fill-ins. I'm usually airing every Wednesday from 11 to 12, but due to the closures from the 23rd of December to the 1st of January, our studios are closing up for the holidays. I decided to book some more fill-ins to kind of fill up the gaps I won't be able to fill in. Today is also packed with a lot of things to do. The last episode, I went over one of my projects from my Global South Indigenous class. For today's episode, I decided to go over another creative piece that's somewhat similar to the one I discussed and presented yesterday. This is from my Victorian literature class, so it'd be different literatures, but a very similar format. I decided to make this project into a podcast story as well. Same with the one before, and so it'll be different content, but very similar format. So I'll be presenting to you guys my final project. It was an equivalent of a final exam, and so I'll be reading that out to you guys very shortly, and then after that I'll be going over the poetry collection that I went over in my previous episodes regarding the COVID-19 era poems for children from Fun Miliao and Sonia Davies. I tried to do it yesterday, but we decided to kind of move it on to our next episodes where we could actually have a bit of time for that. And so we'll be reading not too much of those, but a little bit. And then in between the readings, of course, for the ones who've been following my show, you know that I always play some songs. I'll be playing several songs from a new artist I just recently discovered. His name is John Angieik. Forgive me if I pronounced it wrong. He is a Yupik author, Indigenous, painter and singer-songwriter. He was born in Nightmute, Alaska, and he rose to fame pretty quickly. And his songs are very mellow, very positive-esque vibe, which I really fell in love with as soon as I listened to it. And so that is basically what we're going to do today, and I really do hope we have enough time to go over all of it, but we will definitely go through all of the creative project and the songs, and we will definitely try to go over as much as we can with the children's poetry, because surprisingly, I received a lot of positive feedback about that. When I first initially read it, I thought it was just going to be kind of a, oh, yeah, that's fine kind of feedback and thoughts on it because of the repetitiveness of the children's poetry. But surprisingly, it wasn't the case, and you guys all seemed to like it, and so I'll bring it back as well. Now, we'll have a little break with some ads, show promos, and PSAs, and then we'll get right into the creative project. We'll be right back.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 hours of radio art programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient drone field recordings and sound walks, collage, technical support called voicemail fills, sound art and noise. Listen live on CITR 101.9 or online at citr.ca.
welcome to Lethal Refresh.
I'm Danny.
I'm B.
I'm Stuff.
I'm Jay.
Let's get lethal. Let's get refreshed.
When it's darkest, we always attract the brightest people. Baby, you a light. Shift my whole world to the right.
Please listen to Lethal Refresh on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Nardo with a human serviette and doo-doo-loo-doo.
Thank you!
Lethal Refresh, every Monday, 12 to 1 p.m. New music every week.
Take some, yeah, take that one. I can eat some. Rocking in my low tie.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
We stand for peace, we stand for justice for the people of Palestine and for the upholding of international law.
On November 30th, join Irish for Palestine, BC for a night of crack agus ciúil, including trivia, music, dancing and fundraising for an important cause. All funds raised will be donated to Medical Aid for Palestinians, a long-standing charitable organization responding to the humanitarian emergency in Gaza and Lebanon by providing on-the-ground medical supplies and complex care to children and families impacted by violence. Tickets are $15, and the event will be held in the function room of Foy's Irish Bar. To find out more, visit at Irish for Palestine BC on Instagram. That's at Irish for Palestine BC with a numerical 4. Saoirse don Phalastín.
Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you. This time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this. Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
Welcome back to Jess is Lit. Those are some ads, show promos, and PSAs. Now we'll get right into my creative project for my Victorian literature class. Just to give you guys a little bit of a backdrop, it all started pretty early on in the semester because for me, my creative project kind of it was kind of all interconnected with my previous assignments in that course. And so it all relates to the notion of child, the notion of the child in the Victorian era. And so what the lectures were about was just a lot of the lectures during the course had to dealt with the portrayal of the child in the works that we engaged with. And the works that we engaged with, for example, were Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, and The Jungle Books by Rudyard Kipling, and a lot of the short stories from Oscar Wilde. And so after reading those and hearing the lectures, I sort of developed this, I guess, topic that I wanted to delve into. And I'm not sure if I discussed it with you guys relating to my term paper that I wrote. But the term paper that I wrote, which was about a month ago, dealt with how... Oh, no, that was not it. And I don't think I did. But that didn't really necessarily relate too deeply with the child. But it dealt with the portrayal of evil. And I think I did... you know what? It kind of rings a bell. I think I did talk about this with you guys in my previous episode. But I wrote about how evil depicted amongst the adults, two children, wasn't an act of intentional malevolence, but through ignorance and just the corruption of a society, and how that influences the evil doings of adults to children. But I decided to kind of switch it up a little bit and talk about how the child is portrayed in these stories. And so the creative project that I developed now as a final, it dealt with the autonomy of children and the creative endeavors and the courage that the child presents, yet is shunned down against by adults and is seen to be not, I guess, genuine from the adult figures. And my creative work was influenced by The Jungle Books, particularly, I don't know if you guys know the story, but in The Jungle Books, there consists of many different short stories. And in particular, The White Seal, I was really drawn into. And I would say that The White Seal, the short story The White Seal from The Jungle Books, was an influential part in making this creative work. And in The White Seal, I won't give, you know, too many spoilers, but there is Kotick, a seal, who adventures off into the abyss, into the ocean and the lands. And he eventually, you know, finds a sacred, quote-unquote, sacred safe land. And eventually his people, or his seals, his fellow seals, his family of seals, finds a place where danger does not exist from the people, the humans. Now, that's a very vague description of The White Seal, but I highly recommend that short story and The Jungle Books in general, because The Jungle Books really delves into the child figure and the adult figure, and how the relationship between the adult and the child in terms of education and morality, really deeply well put in that book. So I highly recommend that book to everyone. But to kind of go into my own story, through The White Seal, I developed a story called Solon's Flight. And Solon would be the protagonist. And the story basically is about a bee. It's about a bee in its own world, its own hive, let's say. And it's about a child bee who, like Kotick, adventures off into the abyss to find something sacred, yet is very talked down from the adults because he doesn't conform to the existing lifestyle of the hive. And it's a whole adventure story of that. And sacrifice is also a crucial word in the story. And so I hope you guys enjoy. I will start now. Again, like I said, with my other creative project for Global South Literature, I added in a lot of music and some background noise into the whole podcast. But I can't do that now. And so it'll just be, you know, a verbal narration of the script. Now, without wasting more time, we will get right into Solon's flight. In the heart of a vast and timeless meadow, where the wildflowers bloomed in vibrant clusters, and the wind whispered through the tall grasses, there stood a hive. It was not just any hive, but an intricate city built from wax, an ancient living structure woven by generations of bees. The hexagonal cells shimmered like jewels in the sun, and from within came the hum of life, a constant rhythmic pulse that reverberated through the meadow. This hive, like all others, was built on purpose and order. Every bee had a task, a duty. The workers shaped combs, the foragers collected nectar, and the queen sat upon her throne, surrounded by her loyal attendants. Everything in the hive was set in motion by the unspoken understanding that survival depended on harmony, on the well-worn routine of each individual doing their part. Yet among them, there was one whose purpose had yet to be defined. His name was Solon. Solon was small, even for a bee. He was slender, and his wings fluttered with a nervous energy. He was a wanderer at heart, always drifting away from the hive's structured routine to explore the unknown. While others labored in the familiar fields of clover and dandelion, Solon's curiosity led him to the edges of the meadow, into the dark depths of the forest, and far beyond the borders of the unknown world, His flights were not for foraging, but for discovery. Solon was drawn to places the others avoided, places untouched by the hive's routines. The elders spoke of these places in hushed tones, warning of danger, of uncertainty. Yet Solon could not help but be captivated by the mysteries they contained. Dreamer, the other bees would call him, and there was always a faint note of mockery in their voices. They couldn't understand his need to search for something more than just the daily grind. They didn't see the purpose of his wanderings. They were content with the familiar. But Solon was not like them. He believed there was much more to life than the mundane cycle of survival. He believed there was something beyond the hive's borders that could transform their world. One cool morning, as the sun barely touched the horizon, Solon felt a strange compulsion, a pull he couldn't resist. He took flight, his wings buzzing softly as he veered toward the forest's edge. The trees were dark, ancient sentinels that stood tall against the sky, their trunks thick with moss and age. Few bees ventured into this forest. It was said to be cursed, full of shadows that swallowed light. But Solon, driven by a force he could not obtain, flew into the gloom. The deeper he went, the quieter the world became. The hum of the hive faded, replaced by the distant rustle of leaves and the gentle creaking of old branches. As he ventured deeper into the forest, Solon felt a sense of weightlessness, and as though the air itself was thick with secrets waving to be uncovered. The sun was dim here, filtered through the thick canopy above, casting everything in an ethereal glow. Solon moved with purpose, as if drawn by an invincible thread. And then he saw it. In the heart of a small clearing, bathed in a strange golden light, stood a single flower. It was unlike any flower Solon had ever seen. Its petals shimmered with an otherworldly brilliance, like gold woven from sunlight itself. The flower pulsed with energy that seemed to vibrate through the air, its center alive with a soft, radiant nectar. Solon hesitated for a moment, hovering above the flower, drawn to it by a sense of wonder and awe. His legs brushed against the nectar, and a wave of warmth surged through him, a sensation that filled him with a kind of clarity he had never known. The nectar was thick and golden, glowing softly in the dim light. It was unlike anything he had ever tasted. He knew then, with a certainty that transcended logic, that this flower held the answer to the hive's survival. It was a source of life, a gift from the earth that could sustain the hive through the coming winter. He had discovered something truly extraordinary. With urgency, Solon collected as much nectar as he could, filling his legs and thorax. The moment he touched the nectar, he felt an unusual surge of strength, as if the nectar was fusing with his very being. He could feel the warmth of the sun flowing through him, fueling him with energy. He knew he had to return to the hive. This discovery could save them all. He flew back, his wings straining under the weight of the nectar. Every beat of his wings felt like an eternity, and the forest, once filled with wonder, now seemed to press in on him. The shadows deepened, and the cold began to creep into his bones. But he pressed on, driven by the thought of the hive and the lives that depended on him. When he finally returned, he was weak and battered. His wings frayed from the long journey. His body was covered in the golden nectar, and he stumbled as he made his way into the center of the hive. He was breathless, his legs trembling, but he managed to speak. He spoke of the golden flower, of the nectar that could save them. He begged the hive to listen, to understand the importance of what he had found. But the bees were skeptical. They looked at him with doubt, their antennae twitching in suspicion. The foragers, wary from their own labor, mocked him. They questioned why he had left the hive, why he had ventured into the unknown. "One flower cannot sustain the hive," they scoffed. "You wasted your time on a fantasy. We have enough nectar anyways." The elders were more dismissive. "We have always survived by following tradition. There is no need for such flights of fancy," they said, their voices stern. "You should have stayed where you belong, working with the rest of us." Even the queen, seated in her regal splendor, remained silent. Solon's discovery, though extraordinary, was met with cold indifference. They saw him as a child, a dreamer with no real understanding of what was needed to survive. But Solon's heart was unwavering. He knew what he had found, and he knew that the hive needed it. He could not turn back now. As the days passed, the hive situation grew worse. The flowers began to wither, their once vibrant petals fading into pale shadows. The cold was creeping in, and the bees began to tire. The workers' movements became sluggish, their wings heavy with the burden of starvation. The hive was in danger. Solon watched as his brothers and sisters faltered, as the weight of the winter pressed down on them. He could not stand by and let them perish. In the dead of night, when the hive slept, Solon made his decision. He would return to the golden flower, no matter the cost. He would bring back enough nectar to save the hive, even if it meant sacrificing himself. He took off into the night, his wings heavy with resolve. The journey was perilous, the wings biting him as he flew. The forest was darker now, the trees standing the silent giants in the cold. But Solon pressed on, his mind focused on one thing, survival. When he reached the glade, he found the golden flower, its petals now closed, its glow dimming with the passion season. Solon dipped into the nectar, gathering every drop he could. He could now feel the strength returning to his body, but he knew it was not enough. He was already tired, his wings heavy from his journey. With the last of his energy, he made the return flight, the weight of the nectar pressing down on him. The cold was unbearable now, and his wings felt as though they might snap under the strain. But he continued, his heart set on the hive survival. When he arrived, he collapsed at the entrance. His wings were torn, his body weak. But he had brought the nectar. He had fulfilled his mission. The workers tasted the golden nectar, and the wave of energy surged through them. The hive had enough to survive the winter. But Solon's flight had taken its toll. His body was too weak to continue. He lay still, surrounded by his fellow bees, who now understood the depths of his sacrifice. Spring came, and the hive flourished. The meadow bloomed brighter than ever, its flowers richer and more vibrant than they had been in years. The bees thrived, their numbers growing and their wings buzzing with life. Solon's name was passed down through the generations. He was remembered not as a dreamer or a wanderer, but as the one who carried the sun, the one who had sacrificed everything so that the hive could live. And though Solon was gone, his legacy lived on in the hive's hum, in the light that shone through the flowers and in every drop of nectar that nourished them. Now that is the end of Solon's Flight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Now, it was quite a bit of a story. I would say it was quite straightforward, but again, a little deeper in the theoretical sense. And my intention with this story was to kind of give the child agency. And although Solon's life came to an end in terms of sacrificing his body for the communal good, the agency of the child, in my opinion, was greatly put, and Solon was able to express himself to the fullest potential. And although that meant that he falls to his demise at the end of the story, his legacy maintains to flourish forever. And that is what I wanted to really, really pinpoint in this through the story. And a lot of the stories that I dealt with in regards to relating to the Victorian ages and the eras before and after, and even contemporary ones, but particularly in the Victorian era, a lot of the children here are seen to be just children without any courage, without any intelligence, and without any agency. And so through reading those stories and through, I guess, getting some insight from my term paper and the books that I have been engaging with throughout the course, I really wanted to build a story that gave the child agency and a legacy to be forever known. And so I believe I have done that, and that is why I presented this to you guys on air. If you guys really enjoy these, you know, short stories, I am definitely down to write more just on my free time. And so please let me know. I have been rigorously, and I mean rigorously, like every day, writing a whole bunch of poems and a whole bunch of Insta poems. And so I will definitely go through those in my future episodes. But as of now, that was Solon's Flight. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll take a little break. I'll play two songs for you guys. Of course, from John and Gaelic. One is from, the first one is called Aka Tamani, and the second one is called Nasar Luma. So we'll give these two a listen, and we'll be right back after these. Here we go.
Aka Tamani, Yutamagut, Chapuknaklutoy, Yungnakrat, Doi Tamani, Doi Tuai.
гэж байгаамаг зүгүүж байгаамаг л үү дой дот дуй
Doch berg ilumuluni Kawangum
those were the two songs. Let me see. Yep, those were Aka Tamani and Naswar Luma from John Angeyek. Now we will go into the poems now from Fun Milyao Adesanya Davies. And these were about the COVID-19s and just like tips and advice for children and adults to keep COVID away. We left off at number 14, so we will be starting off at number 15. If you have cough and fever is number 15. If you have cough and fever, please stay at home. Sorry, if you have cough and fever, please stay at home. So sorry, if you have cough and fever, please stay at home. But don't fail at all to call your hotlines. Find your state's hotline number. Find the country's hotline number. Kindly call an online number. Don't fail at all to call your state and country's hotline. Right away, call right away, and call right away. Please, please, please. They will come right away, and they will come right away. And they will come right away. Thank you. Now, number 16. Stay calm, stay safe. Stay calm, stay safe. Stay safe and stay calm. Do not be angry. Do not be angry. Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay safe and stay calm. It will not be long. It will not be long. I say it will not be long to live a normal life again. For COVID-19 will soon be gone. I really like this poem. It brings back a couple of memories. The first one I would say would be the whole stay calm, stay safe part. Oh man, there were a lot of people during COVID-19 when it was really starting to surge up. There were a lot of angry people out and about in the stores, malls, and every time you would cough or just even sniffle, they would look at you. A lot of tragic situations also occurred during COVID-19, even now, which is really heartbreaking, but yeah, that was something. And the whole thing about it will not be long. Now, I remember, I think it was 2019 or 2020, actually, very early on 2020, before everything went lockdown and crazy. I remember one of my teachers in high school saying, oh, you know, spring break is up the corner and we'll be back to school in no time. It won't be long. And what do you know, right when spring break hit, we did not go to school for the next year, I believe. And I know that the context of it will not be long isn't that. Just hearing this kind of made me think about that situation. And it will not be long is also a very positive message that a lot of people and a lot of social media messages were about, just to kind of tell people to persevere through these hardships and hard times with COVID. So yeah, very nostalgic poem. Number 17 is No Flight For You. No flight for you, no flight for me. Stay at home and enjoy your holiday. No bus for you, no bus for me. No train again, no tram again. Stay at home and keep mom's company. Stay at home and keep dad's company. And keep sisters and keep brothers and keep babies and keep siblings. Stay at home. I will stay at home. They will stay at home. We will stay at home. All stay at home. Now, this poem also brings back another memory about staying home. Thinking about it now, staying home, the whole lockdown, and we couldn't leave the house, it was actually a fun time to really interact and spend time with your family and families. Then we really was sick of it, and just seeing each other's family members, you just got sick of the whole being clustered and crumpled up as one in one household, and just going outside would be your backyard. But thinking about it now, all of those times, it really brings back good memories. And we really, I don't know about you guys, but for me at least, it was really fun to just be really engaged with each other's company and existence in this extremely busy world. And so good memories arise from that poem. Number 18, Humpty Dumpty Coronavirus. Humpty Dumpty Coronavirus came to the world. Humpty Dumpty Coronavirus does not want to go. All the horse riders and all the horsemen couldn't send Humpty Dumpty of a coronavirus away. Back to his home again, and back to the grave again. Back to his grave again, Humpty Dumpty Coronavirus. Number 19. The birds are singing. The birds are singing, the leaves are dancing. The leaves are singing, the birds are dancing. Our world has changed. The birds sing and the leaves dance. The leaf sings and the bird dances. So much has changed, but sing, dance, dance, sing. Dance, sing, sing, dance. Sing, dance, dance again. Really cool poem here. Really emphasizing the singing and dancing. And I think that could also metaphorically mean to be positively active and engageful with your voices during these hard times. Now, being alone, for a lot of people during the lockdown, they lived by themselves. And so not being able to move around freely and emotionally, verbally, really hit them hard with a lot of mental difficulties. And so this poem could be also viewed as that sort of advice, to be verbally communicative and verbally active through hardships and hard times during the lockdown. Number 20, do not touch. Do not touch. Do not touch. Do not touch your face at all. Don't touch. Do not touch. Do not touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Don't touch. Do not touch. Do not touch your face again. Don't touch. Do not touch. I am not to touch my face again. You are not to touch your face again. We are not to touch our faces again. Again, a lot of repetition with do not touch, but I think it gets the point out there pretty explicitly. Do not touch your face, guys, and do not touch other face, do not touch other things after touching your face, because that is very unhygienic. Now, I think that's the end for the poems. We went through five, but that's more than enough, I think. I really do want to play some more songs from John Angaic. So we'll stop here at number 20 and play the rest of the songs left. I have two more songs to play, and they are called Anu Reluca and Piu Cuvette. And I will give these two a go, and we will come back right after these. We'll be right back after the two songs.
Anu luka toi, akane kiurach duk, toi kan rakel rea, we ngal knas koach toa, yurak ngai ruchu nach koa, tau gam nas paa.
Finished listening to Anura Luka and Pew Kubet. Now that is the end of today's episode. We did quite a bit today, but I'm glad we got to go through everything that I wanted to go through. Just to mention, I have another fill-in show this Saturday on the 14th at 5 p.m., so please tune in if you guys are interested. Again, I keep saying this too many times, but if you guys have any recommendations related to literature, it could be poetry, fiction, whatever there is, or songs, or song choices, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know, and I will always be willing to consider your people thoughts. The sun is really setting down pretty quick. I think it sets down and gets dark right when it hits like 4:15. But yeah, please stay safe on the roads, guys. Stay warm, and I will see you guys in my next episode. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Thank you all for joining Jazz is Lit. Thank you all. Bye bye.
Ghosts came over the counter.